Welcome to Relationships 2.0. I'm Michelle Steen. My special guest today is Bill Phillips. He is the author of Expect the Unexpected, Bringing Peace, Healing, and Hope from the Other Side. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. So I read this book in one sitting.
Oh, really?
I couldn't put it down. There were several times that I teared up. It's a great book.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And the way that I'd love to jump in would sound like people were coming in the middle of us having a conversation, because there's so much I want to talk about. So I'm going to resist that temptation and let you explain to our listeners what your book is all about and who you are.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so to make a long story a little bit shorter, so my name is Bill Phillips, and I am a psychic medium. And my book is basically about my story on how I discovered my gifts when I was younger. What I had to go through to find it. I always find that in this line of service, that people that are intuitive, psychic medium, they usually have an awakening of some sort that is caused by a trauma. And for me, my trauma was my childhood in a nutshell. And so as a child going through what I went through, having parents that were addicted to drugs and being kidnapped and everything, it's pretty traumatic for a child. And so I believe that at that time I was being protected by this white light. I didn't really know what to call it or name it at the time, until years later when my mother passed away unexpectedly, and she was living in New York and I was living in California, and I hadn't seen her for almost 6 years, and it was pretty traumatic, you know. So when she passed, 2 nights later, she came to me out of a dead sleep, and she told me that she was going to help me and I was going to be okay. And I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was crazy for a while. And it took about 3 years for me to really understand how this world works. So when I was 18, I really kind of discovered my ability randomly one evening at a metaphysical bookstore, and then I just kept trusting it and also running from it.
Right.
And so I was also a singer, so I decided to go into training for that, and I moved to San Francisco and I went to a very prestigious conservatory where I studied opera performance, and I felt like I was being pulled right back into it. So it's the one thing that I ran from, but it basically chased me wherever I went. And so the book basically is about my story about how I discovered this, how I sort of honed it and tuned into it more, clearly and strongly, and how I've really learned how to understand my language with spirit and how this works, because for everyone it's going to be different or look different. And for me, it's a subtle, very subtle experience, but it's also very profound and can be very life-changing as well.
Well, it's, thank you for that summary.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Your childhood was really traumatic. And you don't spend a lot of time focusing on it, but enough to give the reader a sense of what you went through. And I was just marveling at where you are now, given, and just thinking about, it's just such a great testament to how resilient we really are and or can be, and that, but it certainly could have gone a very different way for you. And
oh, absolutely. And I always say that. I always say I wasn't meant to actually probably even be alive today.
Right.
If things had gone the way that they were supposed to, I probably would have, wound up on the street somewhere or in a completely different lifestyle. So I'm very grateful that I listened to myself.
Yeah. You know. Or dead in the back of that bus, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the things that kind of struck me was that you seem to, and I'm wondering if this is because you have this gift, that you seem to not really harbor any kind of resentment toward either of your parents, even though clearly they made some really bad choices. And I'm wondering if with your mom, it's because, I mean, I felt like you at such a young age had this, you know, this kind of ability to just accept and forgive. And I don't see that as much. I mean, I see the loyalty pull even for, you know, clients of mine whose parents didn't treat them well, that it's really difficult to kind of face that. That can be really painful. But you seem to really have forgiven your parents for those years. And I'm wondering if it's because you were able to make that connection with your mom the way that you did, the way that she came back to you.
Yeah, I definitely think that was a major contribution to that. And I really think that for anyone, because most of us have had some kind of trauma happen at some point in our youth. And I think for me, it was a matter of just finding forgiveness and letting that be my light to disconnect from that. Because if I kept myself in that energy, I wouldn't be able to, you know, move forward. I would have been stuck in this, like, grief my whole life. And
right.
And I think that's also a major, message from Spirit, is that they want us to, like, move past the grief and move past the heaviness, because once you do, you can finally tap into what you're supposed to do and help other people. And so that's a huge message as well that I give daily from Spirit, is that they want us to be happy here. They want us to find forgiveness for them, to forgive ourselves, and to truly just be, like, in the present moment. And
yeah.
I have found, you know, at a young age, that the only way to do that would be to, like, let go of it and find peace. But, of course, as a human being, you know, there's always going to be an emotional scar there, but it's my choice whether or not to tune into it or not tune into it. So for
right.
me, forgiveness is a huge aspect of that.
Right. So that whole idea yeah. of understand your story, but then don't get stuck in your story in terms
exactly.
of, you know, the early childhood stuff, and, you know, everyone to some degree endures some kind of, even if it's a mini trauma. Yours were major traumas, by the way.
And I really didn't go into my whole, I gave enough for you to understand where I went, but I was kind of like just scratching the surface of it a little bit.
You know? Oh, I could tell. That's very
yeah.
clear.
Yeah.
And I think, but I think that you did, I mean, I think that could be a whole other book, just because, I think that your story is really inspiring, even if it didn't have this, even if you didn't have this psychic medium ability.
Right.
Even if you weren't a psychic medium, correct me when I'm saying all these terms incorrectly.
No, that's okay.
We'll go through all of that in the book, but your story is really inspiring.
Well, that was also, you know, the point of me wanting to share it, is that I wanted to show people that really, yeah, like you said, besides me being a psychic medium and having this gift, that we all have our own kind of gifts within ourselves, and that we, you know, that you can move on and not let your past, you know, define you, and you could be the best version of yourself. So in that respect, it was also supposed to be an inspirational story for people to look at and go, you know what, I can do this too, or I can do what I want to do. Like, I was supposed to empower people to be
yeah.
in their true light.
Yeah, I think you succeeded in that.
So
One of the things that I wanted, that I've marked in the book that I wanted to ask you about is you, talk about different levels of the other side.
Yes.
Right. How people would enter that. And I think that, you know, simply maybe everyone always thinks, oh, there's heaven and there's hell. And either you're a really good person and you go to heaven, or you're a bad person and you go to hell. But you can be a not great person and go to the other side and enter on a different level. Can you explain how that works?
Absolutely. I mean, what that looks like. Just like there is, you know, in our physical life, you know, there's different levels of our human life too. So people that are, you know, that commit crimes, they are kind of kept separate from the rest of us, you know, and, so in that sense, there's different levels in spirit as well. And it just depends on where you are evolved and what lessons you have to learn. So, I gave an example in the book about the earthbound spirits or the ghosts that I worked with early on when I was first discovering my gift. And they are the ones that really have not accepted their death. They're still pretty confused, you know, and there's really no rules to who is a ghost or who is an earthbound spirit. It's basically someone who kind of got stuck in between when they died. And it usually is caused by something traumatic, I've noticed, or let's say if they were really attached to the land that they were living on. So there's different reasons for it. There's no rules to it. But so there are different levels, and I like to equate it to like a radio signal, you know, from low to high. On the lower levels are going to be the more like dense energies, like the earthbound spirits or like the spirits that basically are kind of stuck at that lower vibration that have more work to do. And then as you evolve, you kind of go higher up, your vibration changes, and you elevate yourself. And so when you do that, you go to a higher level, and then you're crossed over. Now, for many people, they will enter that crossed over space, you know, quite, you know, immediately when they die. This is only referring to the souls that have unfinished business. And then from there, you would go higher, and then you may decide that you want to be somebody else's guide in life. So you may help them make their own earthly decisions. And then going higher than that, you know, there are the ascended masters that we can think of, like Jesus Christ or Buddha or Gandhi. And they were people that lived very spiritual lives here on Earth, and they continue that same energy where they're at in spirit. And then there is the highest level of spirit, which are the angels. And in my opinion with this work, I feel like angels have never been in a physical shell before. So they are the purest form of love and light, and they're also the highest vibration because they were never in a human body. And we all have angels around us. We are all being guided by them constantly. It just is a matter of us tuning into it. So, so really the spectrum of it goes from light to dark, from dark to light, from positive to negative, from yin to yang, just like we have here in the physical.
And so if I, so in a situation where, oh, there are way too many of these, you know, tragic situations, but where, say, a father kills his family and then kills himself, on the other side, would the father be with his family or not be with his family because he killed them?
That's a great question. And I just had this happen recently in an audience meeting that I gave. No, they are not. They're not with that family. They're not. And I had. I'm trying to think about how far back this was, but I had an audience reading where a father came through, and he had basically shot and killed his son and also killed himself. And he was coming through to ask for forgiveness, basically. The son was in a different space with different family members, but they were completely indifferent on different elevations. So for me, I was kind of like, okay, who's talking now? What's going on? Because they weren't coming through on the same line, basically, when I was doing my channeling.
Right. The guy who murdered his family isn't going to be rewarded, if that's the proper term, by being with the people who he killed on the other side, right? His family members.
Exactly. Yeah. He's going to be in a different area. And, that area is sort of like, basically a council where they are helping him understand what he did and why he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, he will have the opportunity to evolve and to grow, but still he wouldn't be on the same level as his family that had also passed. So that's where I was saying it's kind of like, you know, when you're in the physical body and you kill somebody, you're in jail. You know, you're kept separate, and that is the same basic laws that are governed in spirit as well.
It's so, so fabulous. I love this. We have to take a short break. I wish we were commercial free today, but we're not. we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Bill Phillips, author of Expect the Unexpected. And, we'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
You're invited to join Michelle Skeen, psychologist, author, and host of Relationships 2.0 on this station. On Michelle's radio show, she has guests who present their unique perspective and expertise on topics that cover all aspects of relationships. If you want to improve your relationships, and let's face it, we all have room for improvement, tune in to Relationships 2.0 with Dr. Michelle Skeen. If you miss Michelle's show, or if you're interested in listening to past podcasts, you can go to her website at www.michelleskeen.com. That's www.michelleskeen.com. So listen to Michelle's podcast or keep listening right where you're at. Relationships 2.0. Tune in and improve your relationships.
America's wounded warriors are coming home. After serving on foreign shores, these brave men and women are returning to their families and communities. Many have wounds you can see, and many have wounds you can't see, like post-traumatic stress disorder. Now that these warriors are back home, they are ready to enter the civilian workforce. To help, Wounded Warrior Project has developed the Warriors to Work Program, a career counseling service that helps warriors translate their military experience to the civilian workplace. These extraordinary men and women bring proven world-class job skills and a unique perspective on teamwork to the job. And to ensure the right warrior finds the right job, Wounded Warrior Project works with employers to find just the right match. When you hire a wounded warrior, you hire an intelligent, talented, and committed new employee. Contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
Do you tend to overreact and let your emotions rule your interactions with others? Do you become defensive or find it difficult to see things from another's point of view? You're not alone. Despite the fact that we all have to deal with people in our daily lives, many of us have difficulties with interpersonal relationships. My suggestion? Pick up a copy of the Interpersonal Problems Workbook. This workbook combines powerful evidence-based techniques for strengthening relationships in all areas of your life, whether it's at home or work, with a significant other, a parent, or your child. To find out more about the Interpersonal Problems Workbook, go to www.michelleskeen.com. That's www.michelleskeen.com. Pick up a copy and improve your relationships.
Welcome back to Relationships 2.0. I'm chatting with Bill Phillips. He is the author of Expect the Unexpected, Bringing Peace, Healing, and Hope from the Other Side. You can find out more about Bill by going to his website, Bill Phillips, that's BILLPHILIPPS.com. So did I read that you're booked like a year or two in advance for individual readings?
Yes, you did. Yes.
And you do, oh, please feel free to plug any kind of group,
in Southern
things
California,
that you're doing. I was going to say like performance, but I know it's not a performance, but you know, any of your events.
Mm-hmm. Sure. My next upcoming event here is going to be in Brea, and it is on Thursday, November 11th at the Curtis Theater. It's an audience reading where I'll basically be channeling spirit for the 2 hours that I'm there.
That's terrific. And, you know, I'm talking to you from San Francisco, even though the radio station is in Southern California. So I'd love for you to let me know when you're ever up in your old stomping grounds again.
I was just up there over the weekend. I go up there quite a bit, actually, for work and stuff. But I will, I usually am in San Jose when I do my audience reading there.
Oh, okay. I will drive for you.
Okay, absolutely. I'll definitely let you know. I'd love to have you.
Then the lessons are learned while on the other side, or it's this whole idea of karma. You don't learn your lesson on Earth, and so when you come back, you'll be in a situation where you're faced with that lesson again.
Yeah, I do believe that with that karmic sort of debt, that we have the ability to choose what we want to learn before we come back into a human body. So, you know, let's say when you were here, struggled a lot financially, and you never allowed yourself to feel prosperous, or like you had bounty and there was always a block happening. So when you crossed over, you saw that, you know, it was a continuous flow that you were just in fear of. So your fear basically created your reality. And so, when you came back, you may choose a whole different role where, let's say you, had a lot of money and then you lost it all or something. So you're always choosing different roles when you come back, and mm-hmm. you're even choosing, you know, the points in which you'll die. They're called exit points. You're mm-hmm. even choosing down to like how you will die and in which regard. You know, will you die of illness? Will you be killed in a car accident? You know, whatever it may be. So you're choosing, all this data, all this information before you come down. And then when you do cross over, then you go and you review and go, okay, did I learn this lesson this time, or should I come back and try it again? And it's always up to you. It's always free will based. And a lot of people don't come back for quite a while. But it's always a choice.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that was, well, first of all, I want to explain, to the listeners that throughout your book, as you're explaining things, you have interspersed these first person stories from people who you have done readings for. It's fabulous.
Thank you. It was really an amazing, because, you know, when someone comes to see me for a reading, I'm only experiencing part of it with them. I don't care about the story that happened afterwards. So when I was going through and doing this book and I had all of these responses, it was so cool to see the information that I had given and how it kind of really hit home. But, maybe it happened a week later or something. So my lesson to learn with this when I was first tapping into it was to let go of any expectations, because I had to trust that the spirits did not have a form of time where they were coming from, but they always had an intention, and they were always orchestrating something behind the scenes that maybe I wasn't aware of. But the information that was coming through was definitely going to, you know, to prove to be life changing for them. And every story that's in there is about that. And that typically happens in every reading that I give. But there's always something that the person doesn't understand immediately until they leave, and it's usually pretty specific and pretty significant. So I feel like that's the spirit's way of sort of just solidifying to them that, you know, it's real, and just giving them that one last touch of like, yes, this is, I am with you. I saw this happen, or I'm trying to help you get in touch with so-and-so, or whatever it may be. But they're behind us, and they're guiding us more than we are aware of.
Yeah, it really is about being open to all of this.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that was my goal with this book as well. Sorry, to, didn't mean to.
No, you didn't interrupt you me. Up. I want you to talk.
No, my goal as well was to keep it, was to keep this book very honest and realistic, you know, not to sort of like paint a different story or augment it or make it bigger than it was. I wanted it to be, you know, reality. So this is how this works for me. I'm not changing any of the details to make it more dramatic or more believable. This is exactly how it happened for me. And I think that that comes across to the reader as well, that, wow, this is, you know, it's not an exact science. It's not perfect, but it shows that through that process how healing it can be if you're open to it.
Well, the simple is the profound. So I don't think you need to make anything more dramatic. I mean, it's incredibly powerful. And, I haven't read a book quite like yours, but I have had on, well, last week I had Robert Moss on, and he's fabulous. I've had him on a couple of times and he's great. And I have had, Echo Bodine on. I saw that she, did an endorsement for your book, and I've had Tim Link on, who talks to animals, communicates with animals. So I'm sold. You know, all of this is just really fabulous, and I think it's amazing that you've been blessed with this gift and that you were using it and that you made this choice. You know, it's very interesting. You actually were given two really amazing gifts at a very early age. And I was talking about you with a friend of mine the day after I read your book, and she's an opera singer, and I was telling her about, I said, I can't remember what that's called, where it's a certain kind of tenor, it starts with an H, and she was, and you know, she said it, and then she's like, oh my gosh, that's so rare. For someone to have that voice, you had this really rare vocal talent as well.
I did, and you know, just to clarify, yes, that is true. Through, you know, if I had trained over the next 10, 15 years, I would have reached that repertoire. I was basically a baby, you know, Wagnerian singer, and I had so much potential with that as well, but I kind of felt like I fell out of love with it when I was in school, because of just the nature of being in a music conservatory. But also, I was being pulled to help people at the same time, and I found that what I do for people now is so rewarding, and I feel like it gives back so much more than performing opera to an audience, which is also very beautiful and amazing. But this was doing something on a different level that I was able to feel like heightened by and just alive in. And it was my feeling of euphoria, basically, with making these connections happen for people. So I had to go with it. You know, I had to trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have to follow your heart, right?
Right, absolutely.
One of the things that really struck me reading the book and that was just, you know, so beautiful and moved me so much emotionally was this message that everyone seems to be in like a really good place on the other side.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's what they're trying to show us when I do this every day for people. They're coming through and saying, you know, I worry too much about this, or I, you know, when I was there, I worked too much. And I didn't allow myself to golf like I like to do when I was there. And so that's what I'm doing now in my heaven. They're basically creating their version of heaven where they're at the speed of light, because there's no limitations with their body. And so they are here to help us basically create our version of heaven on earth, to the best of our ability, because we have a human body, we have a human mind. No one's perfect, no one's going to be living in that space continuously, but, you know, the closer we can get to it, then we can feel what it's like for them to be where they're at, and that is a gift in itself.
It really is. I think that helps so many people on earth to
get to
not be stuck in that feeling that there's suffering, or, you know, the experiencing the same kind of maybe emotions we do, that we can get so stuck in, like regret and.
Absolutely. And so, like, for my mother, for example, you know, she knew that she was going to be of more help to me in the spirit form than when she was here, because we had a very, you know, this not good relationship. And so she has been my guiding force and my guide when she's crossed. And she truly is like my angel. I mean, she truly is the reason why I'm doing this. And I know that she's also behind orchestrating these people that come to see me, because there's so many similarities I find. Like, I feel like a lot of people that come to see me, usually there's a form of addiction that's connected to their loved ones, or there is an element of tragedy, like suicide, murder. There's usually something very heavy, and she knows that because of what I went through, I'm able to relate and have compassion with those people on a human level. And that goes a long way in this work, because, you know, you don't have to be compassionate in this line of work. You can be cold as well. And so for me, I feel like I was given this because they knew that I was going to use it in a loving manner, and I was going to hold these people in a loving space of compassion to be on their level, like not to be above them or below them. And that, I feel like, is a major element of my gift as well in helping these people.
Yeah. Well, it's so great. There's one of the stories I want to get to, but first I want to ask you, so are there domestic animals on the other side?
Yes, it's so funny. I've been finding out more and more lately, because how my gift works is I don't actually see people. It's more of like getting feelings and having thoughts that appear in my mind, and I hear things, and I feel like I learned a lot about my hearing when I was in music school. But anyway, so I was doing a presentation recently at a book signing, and I was like, there's this like sun energy coming through. His name is Sean, and his dad is here. Anyways, it wasn't a human Sean. The person that was in the audience had lost his dog named Sean, and that way he called him his son. Like, that's how close they were. So
yeah,
absolutely, we do. You know, we are with our fur babies over there, and they hold just as much space and importance as we do as a soul.
I love that. So when I was reading your book, and I was thinking, who would I want to hear from? We had two. We had two dogs who passed, who, you know, were our first dogs, as you know, our family with my kids, and we have, you know, two more dogs, but we still, you know, they're like the original ones. So I was and we always name our dogs people names. So let me know if you hear from Mac or Lucy.
Oh, how funny. Yes, that is so funny. And that was a prime example of how, and it, you know, I have people come in sometimes that only want to hear from their animals. And going into it, I'm like, okay, you know, there's so-and-so here. And they're like, okay. But it's not until I get to their animal that they're like, oh, they're just all over the floor because they have such an emotional attachment to that energy. And it's quite profound, but they do not leave us. And they honestly are a pure example of unconditional love. And their energy stays with us throughout our life. I'm a firm believer because I've seen it happen in my work. So absolutely.
Yeah. I believe it. I kind of feel like our dog Lucy is my spirit animal. she's on the other side now, but I love knowing that that they're together. So that even though they died at different times, like they would find each other on the other side.
Oh, absolutely. It's very common, especially for when I do this, that people that were connected through in-laws or off other sides of the family, they'll all come through on the same level because they're all connected. I like to equate it to like being in a classroom and it's back to school night and all, you know, all the parents are there, but they don't know the other parents there, but they are connected through the students. It's the same thing in spirit. They're all in this space together and they are getting acquainted with each other and going, oh yeah, that's my son down there and that's my daughter. Oh yeah. You know, and they have this rapport and they have this relationship that we don't know about physically, but that definitely is occurring over there where they're at.
Yeah. Well, that was so interesting. There's a story in the book about when you're doing a reading, and I think you're telling this woman that, like, her husband who had died is with her mom or something. She's like, no, 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 they can't be together. They didn't even really like each other. And you're like, no, they are together. They both like gambling. They're, like, hanging out together. It was just a really funny, it just sounds so nice. I mean, the thing that I love about your book so much is that if I had to write a book about what I want to believe, because, you know, I'm like a positive person, this would be the book I'd write. This is what I want to believe, you know?
Thank you so much. Yeah, and you know, it's funny that you mentioned that story in the book. That woman who you're referring to, she was a complete skeptic before she had come to see me, and she actually, she saw me in an audience once, and then she came to see me in person, and she had a pseudo name. She, you know, paid with a money order. She used a fake email address. Everything was done with a fake. So she... there was no way I could know who she was before she came in. Well, she happened to be a very well-known author. And after her time with me, it changed her world so much that she wrote a book about God, and she actually dedicated a chapter in it to me because of what I had shown her. So that
story
is basically
for you to say
a very
who it
much
is?
Condensed version of the chapter.
Is it okay for you to say who it is since you're mentioned in
your
book?
You know what? I don't even... This sounds awful. I don't remember her first name right now. It's not coming to me. But
well, you only remember
pseudo...
spirits. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. she writes a bunch of romance, or she wrote a bunch of romance novels. That's what she was known for. She still is here, so she's still known for it. But you know, her husband and her son were both hardcore atheists and skeptics, and so for her to have them come through from where they were at was a huge just relief to her, and it really showed her that they're connected still, and it helped her to be like, you know, to get back to her writing, to be in a happy space, and to truly feel their connection on a deeper level.
Yeah, that was that was the father and the son who had similar names. What,
yes,
John and
yes.
John Paul.
Yep, that's right. That's the one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great story. I'd love for you to tell the story. One of the ones that really moved me was one about the woman who had, she and her husband had suffered like something crazy, like 12 miscarriages.
Oh, yeah.
They had two sons. But that she was really kind of haunted by one of the miscarriages, of a daughter who I think she miscarried like late in the pregnancy, 6 months or something.
Yes, right. It's so funny because I just saw that person at a book signing last week, and And so her story was that she had had, I want to say, like 16 miscarriages. It was some really outrageous number. And so she had come in for a reading with me with her family, and I forget who it was. I want to say it was like her stepfather or something came through and said, congratulations on the baby girl. And I said, oh, you know, are you pregnant or is someone pregnant? And she's like, I can't be pregnant. I've had, you know, 16 miscarriages. And I said, okay, well, you know, keep this with you. He's coming through. He's very happy. Well, I saw her 2 months later at another event, and she came up to me, and she was very emotional, and she said, I want you to know that I'm pregnant, and I was one day pregnant when I saw you for that reading. That was my first day of pregnancy. And she was very skeptical of it and very nervous about it because she'd had so many miscarriages. But the message for her was to have trust that she could bring this child back and have a healthy baby, and that it was part of her contract, basically, to do that. Well, she had her baby girl. I think she was probably, at this point, like 2 years old or something. But and it was successful. So it really helped her understand that through her connection with her loved ones over there, giving her the reinforcement and giving her the validation, that it helped open her mind and basically release that fear that she was holding on to, which helped her bring this soul back into the world. So that was a really amazing story as well.
That was an amazing story. And she ended up naming it the name of the baby that they had named the baby girl who'd miscarried. And the other piece was that she had been told about getting pregnant that she couldn't. There was no way she could carry a baby to term, that it would be life threatening for her. She had some kind of life threatening condition. And so I just the power of you being able to give her all of that information that kind of reassured her and probably didn't alleviate all of her, you know, anxiety, because everyone's always a little anxious, at least a little anxious when they're pregnant, hoping everything goes well. But
I think it also proves the power of our thoughts as well, and how we are such strong creators of our life. And in her case, it just showed her that there was a plan behind, and she had to just trust it and know that it was going to be okay. And that really helped open her mind up. And it reminded me of myself. When I was born, my mother was in the same boat, where she was told that she wouldn't be able to have a child because of her medical condition. And so I was born 3 months premature and 2.5 pounds. And back in the 80s, the mid-80s, you know, that was like unheard of for the baby to be able to survive. And I did. I was there for like 2 months, you know, basically in an incubator. But I survived, and they called me the miracle baby because of it. So I'm also an example of that as well. And I think that, you know, when a soul wants to come out, they're going to do whatever they can to get here. So it's just a true testament to the spirit and to how spirit works.
I have his book, New World Library, is publishing his book. I think it comes out in March, but my mentor, friend, and co-author, Matt McKay, he and his wife lost their son, who I believe was 23 at the time, to just a random murder when he was coming home from work, and just on the street close to his home. And obviously that was completely devastating for them. And they sought out they ended up seeking out some guy in Chicago that they were told about, who, I guess is a psychic medium like you, or maybe something, you know, similar. And to find out if he was okay. And he assured them that he was fine. But then Matt got another message through a close friend of his that his son Jordan was communicating with, saying that he had a message that he wanted Matt to communicate in a book. And so Matt ended up co-authoring a book with his deceased son. And it's pretty amazing, but it really highlights a lot of what you're saying. I mean, when you say your fear creates your reality, also the flip of that, you know, like believing and trusting the process or, you know, what we're presented with. And I've read that, he gave me, was sending me chapters early on, and I read it and I said, you need to get this to New World Library. This is exactly the kind of stuff that I think they love. And so they're publishing it. And, and it's pretty remarkable. So,
That's amazing. Well, it sounds like that was his awakening, that was his tragedy that helped open up his mind to that world. And it sounds like, that it basically helped him tune into his son's vibration and his energy to help him write the book. And that's
absolutely, you know, because he definitely, I just lost you. What'd you say, Bill?
No. I was giving the mic back over to you. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no. I was just going to say that, Matt was definitely not a believer in all of this at all. Mm-hmm. This whole other side communicating, you know, with those of us on Earth and stuff like that. So I think you're right. That was the opening. And, obviously it's still tremendously sad that, you know, they don't have him in their life in this earthly way, if that's the right way to say it. Is that the right way to say it?
Absolutely.
But to have this experience is really amazing, and I'm really excited to see what kind of reception he gets. And then, I wanted to talk about exits with you. So, you know, when there are times when, maybe I could use a personal example, for you to respond to. My son was, skiing in Chile, and he fell he was skiing with some friends, and he went off a little bit of a jump and landed in what looked like snow was actually just like a rock that was barely covered with snow.
Oh my gosh.
And he had a helmet on and everything, but he fell back and hit his head, and he was knocked out. Like, he had stopped breathing. And fortunately, one of the guys, knew CPR and, you know, started doing some stuff and finally got him breathing again. And then he was helicoptered off of the mountain. I was telling Matt and Judy this story about, they're the ones who lost their son to the murder. And Judy said to me, his purpose here isn't done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as to why he didn't die, like someone else might have died. Do you have any thoughts about, I mean, that's kind of an easy thing for people to say, but I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about why some people can survive things that would kill other people. Is it about this exit? Like, it's, we're all kind of have this natural time that we're going to exit to the other side. And if you're, that maybe you would survive something in order to not exit prematurely.
Right. That's a great question. And I feel like, through my experience with the other side, I've found that we have several exits that we can choose, and it's usually about a handful within a lifetime.
Wow.
A lot of times when spirits come through, they usually give me around the time that they had passed, and that was their contracted time. Like, they, their exit point was, 57, and they chose to leave at 56 a few months before their birthday. So it just depends on the one that they chose to use and to exit out of. And they all serve a purpose. It's kind of like if you think about a roadmap and there's different landmarks on the roadmap, those landmarks are like exit points. And so when you reach the exit point, let's say when you're 33, you know, you get into a car accident or something, and you decide at that time on a soul level, so it's kind of like, it's not conscious, it's subconscious, whether or not you're going to stay or go. On the same token, this might sound kind of, this is hard for many to understand, but even when it comes down to murder, those are things that are planned before we come into a body. So just like a car accident is planned, a murder could be planned. Mm-hmm. These are just ways that we've decided to leave to basically help elevate the consciousness that's here still. So the only thing that is not a part of that is suicide. Suicide is the only thing that is basically breaking up that contract, because you're doing it on a conscious level. You're leaving early.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But when it comes to, you know, like your son or whoever, you know, if someone decided to stay, that's because they still had work to do. But if someone did go, then they have work to do on the other side of that, of the veil, basically. So that's always been my opinion about how that works.
That's really great to know. And then what about, when people are on the other side, once people go to the other side, are they still like mad at the people on this side if like something was unresolved? Like all that's gone, right? There's no like harboring resentment or no reason for earthly people to feel bad about that. That's just some, maybe it could be a springboard for them changing a behavior if it's problematic in other relationships, but it's not,
No, they for the most part they'll keep their personality for the most part, but they will lose that negativity that they were holding on to, because that's what I mean as far as the spectrum of like positive to negative, light to dark.
Yeah,
is that when you release the human body behind, you're releasing all those negative emotions that come along with it.
I love your book so much. We have less than a minute left. I'd love you to be able to say anything you want to say, including, you know, promoting your website or your next event or whatever. So.
Sure. Well, I just want to thank you very much for having me on. It's been a pleasure to talk with you today. And if anyone wants to get a hold of me, they can find me on my website. It's billphillips.com. My last name is about kind of weird, so it's with one L and two P's. It's P-H-I-L-I-P-P-S. And I have a Facebook page. It's the Psychic Medium Bill Phillips, and I post on there daily. I call it Daily Inspiration. You can also find me on there as well. My next event will be in Brea, California, at the Curtis Theater, and that will be November 12th, a Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. But there's a whole list of events on my website as well, billphillips.com.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Do you tend to overreact and let your emotions rule your interactions with others? Do you become defensive or find it difficult to see things from another's point of view? You're not alone. Despite the fact that we all have to deal with people in our daily lives, many of us have difficulties with interpersonal relationships. My suggestion? Pick up a copy of the Interpersonal Problems Workbook. This workbook combines powerful evidence-based techniques for strengthening relationships in all areas of your life, whether it's at home or work, with a significant other, a parent, or your child. To find out more about the Interpersonal Problems Workbook, go to www.michelleskeen.com. That's www.michelleskeen.com. Pick up a copy and improve your relationships.
America's wounded warriors are coming home. After serving on foreign shores, these brave men and women are returning to their families and communities. Many have wounds you can see, and many have wounds you can't see, like post-traumatic stress disorder. Now that these warriors are back home, they are ready to enter the civilian workforce. To help, Wounded Warrior Project has developed the Warriors to Work program, a career counseling service that helps warriors translate their military experience to the civilian workplace. These extraordinary men and women bring proven world-class job skills and a unique perspective on teamwork to the job. And to ensure the right warrior finds the right job, Wounded Warrior Project works with employers to find just the right match. When you hire a wounded warrior, you hire an intelligent, talented, and committed new employee. Contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
Do you panic when you don't receive an immediate response to a text, email, or a voicemail? Do you become clingy or demanding when you feel someone pulling away? Do you stay in unhealthy relationships because it's better than being alone? Or do you avoid relationships altogether? If you answer yes to any of these questions, you may struggle with fear of abandonment. This fear can trigger intense feelings of jealousy and anxiety that result in unhelpful behaviors that ultimately sabotage your relationships. Psychologist Michelle Skeen's powerful book, Love Me, Don't Leave Me, will help you develop a new perspective about yourself and others, and you will learn to recognize and change the behaviors that are hurting your relationships. You deserve to have closer, loving, and lasting connections. To find out how, go to www.michelleskeen.com. That's www.michelleskeen.com.